Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
No real, you know, alpha, so to speak, on this team, at least that's sort of emerged yet. Will it work?
No.
It will not work.
No. In the NFL, I think teams are long past the idea of we can't just get by with one really awesome receiver. We probably need two, and it would be great if we have three. The Bills last year had one really outstanding receiver. And this year, they're going to go with solid, good, okay, unproven, and that's fine against the Arizona Cardinals, maybe. That's not going to be fine in January. And that doesn't get you to February.
Armando Salguero on with the afternoon guys. He went on to say, I think it's a very popular opinion, somebody's going to have to show they're worth it. Whether that's Kincaid, yeah. Shakir, you know, continue to take that step forward. Jeremy and Joe, it's game day. Bills and Dolphins tonight. We'll get a couple calls in. And then Ellen Pupar, who covers the Dolphins, in just a moment. Zoe in Buffalo going to lead us off this hour. Hey, Zoe, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, we were talking about Ramsey and the trash talking. I agree with you 110%. They're going to go at Ramsey because the trash talking, a lot of players, you know, you're not a fan of the Bills. You played against them, but did defensive backs or whatever the case may be. But when he heard that he was overrated, it only had to be one person that popped into his head. Because when he got drafted, that was one of the things that Ramsey said, that he was overrated. He got drafted too high. Even though he apologized and see that he's an elite player, that the Bills, you know, worked hard on him, you also got to think, too, Ramsey lost a step. You kind of could see it. He's definitely physical, definitely a competitor, but you can see in that knee, yeah, he lost a step. They're gonna go up. They're gonna do that jump ball with Coleman in a corner.
That's what that's what Jeremy thinks.
That's
is
my
happen.
Bet. That's my bet.
I agree 110%.
We'll talk about this with our guests.
I think they're gonna go at Ramsey at least once with Coleman because they wanna see him do what he does. I mean, they threw that ball to Coleman this past week.
Yeah. I'm hesitant, though, to go to he's lost a step. Well, there's some stuff that, I don't know, the film guys, the numbers guys, I feel like I'm not seeing a lot of, like, Ramsey's not an elite corner anymore.
They missed him. He missed this matchup the first game last year, right? The first game of last year, didn't he miss the first couple weeks because he had an injury? He didn't come back for them until, like, December.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So he missed the first matchup last year. The thing about Ramsey, he gets a lot of attention, of course, from Bills fans because he said Allen was trash. Now, at the time he said it, Allen was not that good. And then Allen
he was a rookie, right?
Yeah. He was a raw rookie.
Was it also forgotten, didn't he say something about like 15 other quarterbacks Yeah. Like, it was a part of Ramsey destroyed every quarterback in the league. And the comment about Allen was he was trash.
Yeah. And again,
and we've remembered it maybe more than other people have.
I have no doubts, like, the underdog mentality, using bulletin board material. Everybody loves to do that. The commercial, there's a commercial for Gatorade right now. Josh Allen's in it. He's writing emails to coaches. He's a zero-star recruit. He's trying to get onto a roster, onto a team, and now he's, you know, an NFL MVP-level player. And it is funny because you've got lots of players that want to be that underdog. Whether you're drafted in the sixth round, Tom Brady remembers the names of the quarterbacks taken before him. A.D. Mitchell, why is he wearing number 10 in Indianapolis? Because 10 receivers went in front of him. Hmm. That's why he wears number 10. Here's Josh Allen. He's in a commercial for Gatorade as nobody believed in me. And one of the things that came to my mind right away, he did get drafted higher than Patrick Mahomes did.
Yeah.
He was seventh. At some point, you're an underdog. All the way, you're an underdog. People don't believe you. Then you got drafted seventh overall. That's not an underdog anymore. Maybe you're a project, and you're people don't believe in you, but Lamar Jackson got taken 32nd. And GM said he should be a running back. Lots of guys do get doubted. So I'm not picking on Josh so much as I'm saying everybody's going to find their angle, what they're going to work here, right? Like, nobody believed in me.
Uh-huh.
The Bengals got mad.
Everyone needs
the Bengals, we make fun of them for this, got mad that the NFL sold tickets to a game.
Right. When they were also selling tickets to a future game.
Yes,
it wasn't.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it's one of the reasons I don't really think too much about bulletin board material. Right? Don't the Dolphins have a stadium's worth of bulletin board material that they can't beat the Bills? So if they do,
yeah.
Well, we got tired of hearing it. Okay. Sure. Everybody's got a bulletin board. Everyone's got material for it. Thanks, though. But like I said, that's built into that is, I'm going to go after Ramsey. I'd love to. Derek Carr this past week. Has anyone thought of Derek Carr as a trash-talking quarterback? You see him trash-talk to one guy in Carolina? There's a guy in Carolina.
What is he yelling at little old Carolina for?
Here's why. There's a guy chirping him in this game.
Okay.
And Carr looks him right in the face and says, I've thrown three touchdowns on you. Right to the guy's face.
That's like, pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, I love that part of it. I love the fact that we did this a little bit ago where Allen is voted the league's number one trash talker among quarterbacks. I desperately need him to embrace that. I don't need underdog Allen. I want scorched earth, trash everyone's soul Allen. Mm-hmm. And that is, let's get Keon Coleman to Moss Ramsey. That's what I want. I want, because he's the Brady trash talker right now, where he's this baby face. He's just a golden retriever out there. He's just having a good time. You can't stop him. Meanwhile, he's the biggest trash talker in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Is what the other players say.
All right.
So anyway, to Miami as we head to the Western Hotline for
Alan Pupar from Sports Illustrated on the Dolphins. Morning, Alan. You ready for tonight's game?
What game? Oh, Dolphins game. Yes, absolutely.
In terms of kind of the Dolphins angle of this side of things, how big a game is it? I don't know. Is it everything for them because this is the opponent that they haven't been able to get over?
I think you talk to the fan base that they would tell you that. I think you talk to the team, they would tell you no, and it would make perfect sense, because if you build it up to be this end-all, be-all game, then what happens if they lose? I think they fully understand, A, that they haven't had a lot of success against the Bills in, what, 5-6 years. They also understand that Buffalo is a team to beat if they want to win the AFC's title and get that elusive home playoff game. So they know. They don't need to be told. They understand what's at stake, but I think they're going to be cautious about making it too big. I mean, it is a second game of a 17-game season, after all.
Yeah. What is different about the Dolphins from this year compared to even last year, but previous years before that? They changed up some personnel on defense, but is it kind of just tinkering on both sides of the football, or are there big differences at any position?
No, there are a lot of differences on defense. The offense is basically the same, with a couple of new additions. Tight end Johnny Smith being one, Odell Beckham Jr. being another one when he gets on the field, with the hope there that those added elements can take the offense to the next step, which is basically performing better against the quality opponents, the playoff opponents. And on defense, there have been wholesale changes, starting with the coordinator, with Vic Fangio now in Philly, Anthony Weaver coming over from the Baltimore Ravens. Personnel is different. Christian Wilkins is no longer there to anchor the defensive line. They brought in Calais Campbell. They brought in Jordan Brooks at linebacker. They have a couple of new DBs and Kendall Fuller, cornerback, came over from Washington. And, of course, Jordan Poirier, who you guys all know and love in Buffalo. So there are a lot of different faces. It's a new scheme. It's a different approach on defense, where Vic Fangio was this, for lack of a better term, grumpy old man who was very set in his ways, albeit highly successful throughout his career. Anthony Weaver is a lot more of a player's coach, which aligns a lot more with what McDaniel is as a head coach. And the hope is that the defense can take another step and also not have the team deal with the massive number of injuries that they had late in the season last in 2023.
How did that look in week one for the defense against Jacksonville?
It looked a bit shaky in the first half. They were down 17-7, shut them out in the second half. They got the huge play by safety Javon Holland when he punched the ball out of Travis Etienne's hands as he appeared headed for the end zone, and what would have been a 24-7 lead in the third quarter. It might have been ball game right there. Instead, that turned the whole game around. And then after that, the Dolphins also stopped Jacksonville on their final two possessions, a couple of sacks to end the final drive. So they responded. So overall, you'd have to give it a pretty good grade in terms of the outcome and the way the defense responded in the second half. But there were some rough spots in the first half.
What do you think the chances are that Devin Achane, the Dolphins running back, does play tonight? And with Mostert already ruled out, if he were to be limited or, I guess, be ruled inactive, what should we expect from the Dolphins ground game and the players that are behind them on the depth chart?
Well, I know the Dolphins are very excited about their rookie fourth-round pick, Jalen Wright, kid from Tennessee, for whom they traded a 2025 third-round pick to the Eagles to select. Looked really good in the preseason, looked an awful lot like Devon Achane in a lot of ways because of the speed. So I think the Dolphins are hopeful that if Achane is limited or doesn't play, that Jalen Wright can go in and do what he did in the preseason. Now, is that realistic? Who knows? Dolphins and Mike McDaniel in particular do like Jeff Wilson Jr. a lot. He's a big physical back, had some good moments. He didn't get a carry until the fourth quarter against Jacksonville, wound up leading the team in rushing, even though his rushing total was pretty low. But then the other adjustment could be the Dolphins just would just throw the ball more than they have or than they did against Jacksonville. And this is where Johnny Smith, who was very quiet against Jacksonville in the opener, could become more of a factor.
When it comes to this offense and Mike McDaniel, the way that they design this, you know, it feels like the stories about them, whether it's the cheat motion that the NFL was looking into, but they did not change. The Dolphins are like cutting edge and trying to push the envelope on how they can kind of redefine, offense. I mean, it's gone that well, and it's all about speed. Are they constantly adding wrinkles to this thing? And, you know, while it's the same personnel, you always expect to see some new element to their game.
Without question. And the new element last year was the jet slash cheap motion that they used so extensively. We didn't see as much of it against Jacksonville in week one, even though they did use a lot of motion, but it wasn't necessarily the one where you see right at the snap where you see Tyreek Hill in motion just as the ball is getting ready to be snapped. But yeah, Mike McDaniel, that's his thing, is coming up with creative ways to make use of that ridiculous speed that he has at his disposal. And I'm sure there'll be new things coming up, maybe even tonight.
Alan Pupar covers the Miami Dolphins. Alan, thanks for the time.
You got it.
All right. Dolphins tonight. I'm watching Jalen Wright highlights at Tennessee.
I know. He's over here, and we're trying to get the scoop over here on the Dolphins, and I've got some Tennessee running back in my face that I'm assuming is Jalen Wright.
It is Jalen Wright.
Just running away from people.
Let me tell you what this one highlight package of Jalen Wright is. Hand off to Wright, and he's gone.
Uh-huh.
He's fast. He is a...
It's the same play every time. He's just...
It's not that different. You're talking home run threat. if he turns into what he was in college. I mean, everybody in college, you know, not people aren't as fast. But he's one of those ones where he's between a safety and a corner, and he splits the two, and they're both chasing him, and he wins the race by 11 yards into the end zone. So, yeah.
I mean, hey, maybe he shows up and he can give them a similar element of speed. Can he give them the element, though, that Achane gave them in week one and was starting to when he came back from injury last year, which
catching
is
the ball?
That dude plays everywhere.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know if the Bills ever had a guy like, I mean, Spiller, right? Like, well, that's how you might imagine C.J. Spiller, like, in his prime, where the dude is just running away from everybody. He's lining up at running back. He's lining up at receiver. He's lining up in the slot. Oh, here he's getting a jet sweep. Now he's at receiver and getting a screen pass. He's moving out there and beating a linebacker up the field. Like, Achane is a legit weapon. And it's not just his speed. It's his versatility to play everywhere. And that's the one thing I guess I don't know enough about Wright to know. Like, will they line him up at wide receiver tonight and, like, manufacture touches to him? That I don't know.
The one thing about Achane, the most important ability, Joe, is availability.
Availability.
And he has not been available quite a bit in his career. So
no, that's true. Every time he gets a big workload, it's always a hamstring injury.
Yeah. And this time or it's now an ankle.
An ankle. Yeah. He's 5'9", 188. Like we've wondered about, like, hey, can James Cook take the pounding of a big workload because of his size? That's actually gone well for James Cook. Achane is smaller than Cook, and so far it's showed because he gets hurt all the time.
Let's go to Jimmy in Miami. Hey, Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I'm glad you're talking about Achane because I think this game is a big game. Now, the Dolphins may not, like your guest before said, they may not say it's a big game, but McDaniel really wants to beat Buffalo. And I believe they're going to use Achane. They might not use him as much in the past as they have, but they're going to get him out there. Last week he caught 7 passes for 75 yards. He had a really big day there. I look for the Dolphins to get him in motion quickly. You know, they use motion like on steroids, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on our defensive backs, especially Achane with our linebackers and probably our nickel back. But Tua is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. He's very accurate, as you know. He gets the ball out quickly. He's programmed by McDaniel to go through a couple reads really quickly and get the ball out because, obviously, they don't want to get him hurt. But I would say, you know, if you're coming down to the end of the game and one of his receivers is streaking downfield like Marvin Harrison Jr. was, wide open, I don't think Tua misses that guy like Murray did. That Arizona team, I'm not going to say they're a bad team. I mean, a win is a win, so that's great. But they blew the end of that game with timeouts left on the clock. They ran the ball on 3rd-and-7 in the final seconds of the game, eating up the clock. And Murray, you know, missing Harrison. I mean, and we got lucky with that call, that pass interference call with Ingram. But hey, like I say, a win is a win, and I'm looking forward to watching the game, and go Bills. That's all I had.
Thanks, Jimmy. Kyler versus Tua, who would I take?
Kyler.
I don't think there's any doubt that Tua has a better coach.
Tua's a better, yes.
Better offensive coach, for sure.
Yep.
Better weapons.
Like he says that play, Marvin Harrison Jr., Tua wouldn't have missed him. Well, remember, he gets open after a couple seconds.
Yeah, after.
So you have to extend the play, and then he's really far away. So you better, if you do notice him in the time, you better have the arm to get it there before a Bill recognizes it and gets back there. And I don't know, like Tua might notice him when Kyler didn't. I don't know that the play is going to last that long with Tua, though. And I also don't know that he's going to be able to throw the ball 58 yards in the air to get it to Marvin Harrison Jr.
He probably wouldn't have had to throw 58.
He was pretty far down there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was in the end zone, wasn't he? And wasn't Kyler in midfield?
He was open a lot earlier than that.
All right, maybe it was a little less.
But the general breakdown of that film is that, you know, Murray would not have thought to look over there. It would have to have been an improvisation. He looked there once. The safety came over after. There's a rusher, a free rusher.
I think they're in the same tier for me.
Yeah, all right. It's time for our Thursday three-way. Same game parlay on tonight's Thursday night football game. We do it every Thursday night.
Let's go.
We each pick a leg. The Thursday three-way. Tonight's a Bills game. All right. Same game parlay.
All right.
What do we want?
Well, you want a Ramsey interception, don't you?
No, I can't really get that in a same game parlay. So instead, I'm going to go on.
Let's see. Looking at some of the... Man, Tyreek Hill, 93.5. I mean, he's Tyreek Hill, but...
I know.
Wow. Big, I mean, week one, right? Reaction to week one. Massive changes in the over-unders from last week. Last week, it was Kincaid, 52.5. Shakir, 47.5. Then Coleman at 30.5. This week, it's Kincaid at 42.5. Coleman at 42.5. And then Shakir at 40.5. That's a big change.
Okay.
And Samuel all the way down at 18.5. Man. $8 million. One toe injury. He's 19 yards now. Doesn't Dawson Knox at 12.5 just feel like a money bet every single time?
I like betting a Dawson Knox anytime touchdown. But I don't know. This game might be a little different.
Like, he might have to go catchless to not get 12.5 yards.
Oh, yards. Yeah, you got it in one play last week.
Yeah. But, I guess, was that his only play? So maybe it was close.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all right. I am going to go with... I'm going to go with the Coleman under. 42.5. That's a big number. Yeah. And him doing it last year, like, he needed a contested catch. Dan Orlovsky broke that play down. Like, it was a great catch. There's a little cleaning up to do on that route because he made it a little tougher for Allen, where he ran that route way too close to the sideline. And Allen basically had an inch to put the football into. He did, but, you know, he might run that same route 5 more times the exact same way, and they might not complete it again unless he changes it a little bit. So... I'll go Coleman on the under 42.5. It's a big number.
Okay.
For me.
I'll go Josh Allen, 2 passing touchdowns or more.
Two or more.
It's even money on that.
All right.
Josh Allen, 2+ passing touchdowns.
Okay.
I'm going to go Khalil Shakir over total receptions at 3.5.
All right. No, we're not picking any Dolphins here.
I like that. Yeah. Let's just get all in the Bills passing game.
So we need Allen to throw 2 touchdounds, Coleman to not get 42.5 yards, and Shakir to get 40.5. So we need a Shakir game. Shakir, by the way, had over 100 yards in week 18 last year.
No, I said Shakir over reception.
Yep. Oh, reception. Yep. Sorry. Thank you.
So he has to get 4 receptions.
Thank you. Okay.
Look at you over here betting an under. Just your party pooper over here rooting against Coleman. Well, once he gets his Moss touchdown catch over Jalen Ramsey, he'll be satisfied. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Your waiver wire pickups, all your stuff from week one, signal versus noise, who should you be starting after bad games. We'll chat with Yahoo Sports fantasy writer Scott Pianowski when we return. It is a game day, Bills and Dolphins tonight here on WGR.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Honestly, man, I wouldn't say they were just taking him away. I think, you know, I'm just, as a quarterback, obviously, you're going through your reads. Sometimes the ball goes to him, but that's not my job. Obviously, I have a sense and a feel for guys when they don't get the ball and when they're, you know, when they are getting the ball, but I leave that up to Drew.
Boy, that is very different from how it was spun.
Yeah.
That's Kyler Murray. It's not my job to get it to Marvin Harrison Jr. He says a lot of times they're different guys' first read. That's on Drew, right, calling plays.
Yeah. Because when you just read the quote without the context, you didn't really see that second part, first off.
Yeah, it's not nearly as incendiary as I thought it might have been.
Yeah.
It's not
him saying, oh, it's not my job to get Marvin Harrison Jr. the football.
Meanwhile, some of the advanced numbers, as we bring in Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline, Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports, some of the advanced numbers on Marvin Harrison Jr. are... very puzzling. Like, he had one of the slowest receiving games in the history of the sport, Scott. Like, and this is supposed to be a top-tier guy, a feature of this offense. He got one catch for 4 yards, and that was on the heels of a drop that he had. And people have noticed that it looks like he's running stiff. I don't know. The panic meter on Marvin Harrison Jr., not only as a fantasy prospect, but as a prospect. How crazy is it right now, Scott?
Yeah, it's up there. And, you know, it was just a year ago that Jackson Smith and Jigba was drafted with a lot of the same traits as Harrison. The idea is that, okay, he's not a burner, but he's such a technician and he's going to win that way. And I'll admit, I thought JSM was a great value this year with Lockett turning 32, with the coaching staff being overhauled and all these grub concepts coming in after that great season last year at Washington. And a little worried about my JSN shares, but the worry is more severe, of course, with Harrison because he had second-round draft capital. And that's what we do. We panic, right? We see Kirk Cousins. He's not no play action, no under center snaps. You know, he looks really old. He looks like somebody who isn't 100% healthy. And even if we didn't want to start Cousins, we wanted to start Kyle Pitts and feel good about it. We wanted to start Drake London and feel good about it. So in a week one, where the passing stats, we expect week one to be sloppy and it's extended exhibition season and all that. We get all that. We're trying to be realistic with week one. Even with that context, just the stats were so ugly. The sack rates were up. The offensive lines are struggling. We obviously have a lot of young quarterbacks who don't have experience. You know, Anthony Richardson might as well be a rookie. There's a bunch of other rookies starting who haven't played that much. So I feel like there's more angst and anxiety in the fantasy streets for this week, too, than maybe there might be in a regular season.
Who's the player you think the panic is the most real for right now in fantasy?
I think it's Cousins. I really need to see something from him on Monday night because he might be in a physical condition where they can't run the offense. You bring in Kirk Cousins because he's a play-action quarterback, right? You know, because he's an under-center quarterback. They were asking him to do things that he normally doesn't do. And when I see these teams, and let me spin this into something that impressed me, right? Last year, the Saints were near the bottom. They would have been at the very absolute bottom. I forget where they were exactly, but they basically never did pre-snap motion. They never did play-action passing. They were buried in those rankings. And now, week one, I know Carolina might be the worst team in football, but or certainly one of them. But they laid the waste to the Panthers, running all sorts of pre-snap motion, all sorts of play action. And to me, those two things, that's like, you know, when you take Atlanta with doing none of that, not moving guys around, right? And or like Washington with Terry McLaurin. He was literally in the same spot on every snap and wasn't moved at all in the formation, wasn't moved at all in motion. That's like telling a basketball team not to run a pick and roll. I mean, these are cheat codes. Why would you not want to do that? Look what Sean McVay did the entire game at Detroit, where you're 21 targets for Cooper Kupp, and he's constantly moving all around the formation. And after Puka Nacua gets hurt, we need Kupp to be the foundation of their offense. Now, Detroit might have taken the yards per target because it was only like 5.2. Kupp needed 21 targets to get to the game that he had. But the point is, Sean McVay is putting his receiver in a position to succeed. I think maybe this new coaching staff, the Kubiak offense in New Orleans, maybe I undershot it, but If Kirk Cousins isn't healthy, I mean, we all know they drafted, not only did they draft a quarterback with the 8th overall pick, but they drafted a quarterback who came out kind of old. I mean, you don't want to sit on Michael Penix forever. I don't know. I thought for sure he wouldn't play this year. Now I'm thinking maybe there's a chance that they may turn to him. The schedule is not friendly. They needed to win that Pittsburgh game. Yep. They have Philly this week. They have Kansas City next week. I mean, the Falcons are staring at a possible 0-3 start.
And I've got some numbers on Cousins under center. Like with Minnesota, you said he's a play-action quarterback. 70% of his snaps nearly about 5 years ago under center. That goes to 62 to 55. 2 years of Kevin O'Connell, it's 45% and 47% under center for Cousins. And then in game one, he fell from 47% under center the previous year to 2%. One snap under center, which could be problematic. You know, as we're looking at offenses and trying to find out what we've got here, Scott, it looks like the Bills have maybe a good offense, but from a fantasy standpoint, you've got Josh Allen, and who else can you trust right now? Kincaid is no doubt a good player, but teams might start keying in on him. Shakir, maybe with receptions, but yardage might not be there. Coleman got involved a little bit. Do you feel good about any piece other than Allen in this fantasy offense right now?
Well, I'll tell you who I moved up the most in my estimation after week one was Keon Coleman for a couple of different reasons. One, he ran the most routes and had the most targets in the passing game. It wasn't a huge separation from him and some other guys, but he was the leader in those two areas. And that throw that Allen made to Coleman on the left sideline, I'm sorry, on the right sideline, where Coleman was ostensibly covered, and Allen just said, okay, big guy, make a play. I'm just going to throw it to you. I'm going to trust you. And Coleman adjusted. We know he has that basketball background. He basically boxed out and made the catch. One of the angles for me leaning towards Shakir preseason was the whole, okay, well, Shakir already knows Josh Allen. He already knows the team. He's caught a pass in the regular season with this offense, and the other guys have to play catch-up. Keon Coleman was much more ready to play and ready to prove, and I realize he didn't blow the stats out of the water, but he was more ready in a week where a lot of rookies weren't ready, right? I mean, Marvin Harrison maybe wasn't ready. Adunze's one catch in Chicago was a deflected pass, just a total fluke play. And Caleb Williams, I can't believe they won that game somehow, being down 17 points and doing nothing on offense. And then the Titans just basically gifted that win to Chicago. Curious to see what we get from Chicago on Sunday night against Houston, a team that did look very good. But I was most impressed with Coleman. Just I moved him. I thought Shakir was the, and I realize they play different positions. They're both receivers, but they both, you know, they run different kinds of routes. They play different type of receiver positions. But before the season, I thought Shakir was the guy. Now I think Coleman, and it's not a huge gap. I mean, Shakir still had a touchdown. He's obviously going to have a role in this offense. But now if you told me I could have either one of those guys in the passing game, I would take Coleman. Also, I'm not worried about Kincaid long-term. It was a horrible week for tight ends. And I wrote an article about that on Yahoo for Wednesday. My first thought was like, well, maybe they're all blocking. And then I ran into some of the route stats. I'm like, well, it really wasn't that. And part of it is the trickle down of just a horrible day for passing NFL league-wide. But Kincaid still, all the stuff I just said about Coleman, at the end of the season, I like most people, I still think Kincaid will lead this team in receiving yards.
Yeah, he was getting actively taken away by the Cardinals. There was a play we looked at earlier in the week where he was getting quadruple covered on one play that opened up. I think it was a Ray Davis catch on that one. So, right, like the tight end landscape in general, how Kincaid fits into that, is there a bounce back for everybody right away? Is this kind of like the question of earlier? Like, I guess what's real from what we saw in week one? Like Andrews and others. Like, what do you think at tight end and how Kincaid fits into that now for rest of season?
Yeah, I think the first thing we think about the way the week started. Right, it starts Kansas City and Baltimore. And who knew in a week that would be ugly for tight end, it would be ostensibly a backup tight end who would steal the show. Isaiah Likely was fantastic in that game. He misses by a toenail of scoring a second touchdown. But even with that, he goes well over 100 yards. And the encouraging thing there is that Kincaid, Likely was always an interesting fantasy pick for contingent upside. The idea that Andrews misses a lot of time. Likely was a top five, top six tight end when he was starting last year. But even the most optimistic of Likely managers must have thought, well, okay, I probably need Andrews to get hurt or to be marginalized somehow. The idea of them producing together, or Likely specifically producing in a game where Andrews was active the whole game, it just was something that I don't think anybody has seen that, made that leap before the season. A lot of people probably drafted Likely as a backup, didn't start him. I realize it was part of the Kincaid thing where there was double teaming going on with Andrews. The Chiefs didn't want Andrews to beat them, and I wonder why they didn't adjust to Likely beating them all game, because he was terrific. But I think Isaiah Likely is the top 10 tight end rest of the season. Like a lot of good tight ends, he gets those slot reps. He gets basically wide receiver work. I would rather have him than Andrews the rest of the season. As far as the position league-wide, after seven or eight maybe tight ends who have target shares, who can challenge 100 yards in a week, what we're usually looking for with a tight end is it's touchdown or bust. And in a week where the passing touchdown, 1.1 passing touchdowns per team, and that's just paltry given the way football's been played for the last 15 or 20 years, that number's going to normalize. And a lot of these guys who we're hoping to get a touchdown out of, we're going to see that rate go way up. So that, to me, was the easiest fluke. And also just teams, you know, wanting to control game. We saw a lot of teams just said, okay, we're just going to win by buttoning up the offense. The Patriots did that. The Steelers did that. They said, Justin Fields, don't turn the ball over. We got this game under control. It's okay to kick field goals. They never scored a touchdown. The Patriots, it felt like that game was lopsided in Cincinnati, but really New England, just once they realized they had a control of it, they Jacoby Brissett managed the game. They were fine with that. Speaking of panic meter, what the heck do you do with the Bengals? Joe Burrow, his wrist all game.
Yeah.
I realized Chase missed the whole summer. And so what he did, and give the Patriots some credit, they play, they get paid too. But, man, did they look ugly. I had Cincinnati and Survivor, and very early I knew that pick was in big, fat trouble. I feel like Cincinnati never, and maybe I underestimated the Zach Taylor effect, right? The first 2 weeks of the season, the last 5 years, Zach Taylor's 1-9. I mean, you practice all year for this first game. They're playing one of the worst teams in the NFL by everybody's estimation, and they get beat for 3 hours. A very bad look for Cincinnati. Now they have to try to make it up against Kansas City. Good luck to that.
Scott, before we go, Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Will Yahoo make a maybe like a template? Sorry you sold on Kyren Williams based on punt return duties. And sorry you invested everything in Blake Corum, who didn't really play. Like one of the stories, big fantasy stories of the preseason was that. Mm-hmm. And here are the Rams. Like, Kyren Williams looks like the back he was last year.
He does. But did you notice all five of their offensive linemen have had an injury in the last couple of weeks? He is going to have a lot of trouble. I realize Arizona is a good matchup this week, as you saw. You know, they're not a good defense, but they're going to have trouble keeping Stafford protected. They're going to have trouble getting a running game going. But I was shocked. Corum not getting any activity stunned me. In a week where a lot of backups made traction, right? Bucky Irving looked good in Tampa Bay. McLaughlin might be the best back in Denver. Alexander Mattison outplayed Zamir White, and they've said that's a hot hand situation. So I feel, you know, we weren't sure in Cincinnati what the situation was. Moss did get the start. He gets a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott is still alive and kicking in Dallas. So we had a lot of backfields where it was either or, which way are we going with this? How do we feel about these guys in the case of the Rams? And you're right. You know, Williams, a lot of people backed off him because of the kick return stuff. And Corum obviously had a really good year at Michigan, a good career at Michigan, was a third-round pick. And which way are we going with that? J.K. Dobbins, I should mention also. All summer, I wondered what to do with the Chargers backfield, and I kind of backed off it. I realized Dobbins doesn't have the same breakaway speed. He had that long run where the old Dobbins probably would have housed it. He got tackled from behind, maybe 15-yard line or so, but at least he's moved ahead of Gus Edwards. I actually, you know, if I had Williams, I think I might sell the idea that he's getting all the touches and quietly think I'd like to get away from this offensive line. And you see a lot of times when teams can't block or teams have backups at the offensive line, what do? You mask it in the passing game. It's easier to kind of shield that, but it's harder to hide that in the running game. I still don't think Williams is out of the woods, even though that opportunity share was delightful.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Scott, thanks again. We'll chat next week. Enjoy tonight's Bills-Dolphins game. Should be a juicy one.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what that Miami backfield turns into, but thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, Jalen Wright is who I'm watching because I've got him in some fantasy, some dynasty leagues. You know, Joe, I think I got him as a fourth-round pick, which means if he turns into something, then I'm a heck of a GM. I do a great job in the later rounds. Jalen Wright, fourth-rounder, rookie draft.
I don't think I would play him tonight.
Oh, I'm not going to play him, no.
I would play Jeff Wilson, though.
If I had him, sure.
I think he's going to be getting the bulk of the carries. He was the guy that was active last week.
Yeah. How old is Jeff Wilson?
Is he feels like he's been around a while.
He feels as old as
Mostert.
He's not as old as Mostert. You're going to tell me he's 24.
He's not 24. But what would you have guessed?
I would have guessed he's 28.
Okay, he's 28.
Okay.
See, I would have guessed like 32.
Maybe he came in the league when he was 21.
Yeah, that might be right.
He's been around for a long time.
2018 undrafted free agent.
Okay, so this is his sixth season, seventh season?
Yeah.
All right. Extendo Sports, and then we get you off to the Extra Point Show. It's a game day. Bills and Dolphins. They've got a trivia question up on the board on ESPN. Tua Tagovailoa, one of two Dolphins starting quarterbacks to beat Josh Allen head-to-head. Who's the other? I don't know. I got to think about that.
It's got to be his rookie year.
Who's the quarterback in the Charles Clay underthrown slash drop game?
Tannehill? It's got to be, right?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wait.
It's not Fitz.
No, because Tannehill, who starts the game where the Bills clinch a playoff spot the year before with Tyrod? Cutler.
Wow.
So Tannehill's already gone.
It was Tannehill. The answer is Tannehill.
So he came back? Okay.
Extendo Sports next.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Okay. Extendo Sports.
Okay, so in the break, I've been watching something that is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Trainwreck Sports, the guys at Trainwreck, they put together a highlight package. Josh Allen runs against Miami, and every highlight, the run is a little bit longer. So it starts with quarterback sneaks, 1 yard, 2 yards, a 4 yard run. And then you get into some of the longer runs where he's breaking tackles and shrugging dudes aside. And just the incredible plays that we forget happen in our life now. The game in Miami last year to close the season, the Bills are up 21-14.
Yeah.
And there is a 3rd and 13. And Allen takes off. And he should have been stopped after like 5.
Yeah, it's insane.
And he keeps going. It is incredible. He's unbelievable. How do Dolphins fans get out of bed in the morning after the games that he puts on them? Holy cow. You got to see this highlight package. I posted it as well. Absolutely bonkers. Doesn't make sense. All right. Just take the over on the rushing yards for him.
I know. Can I go back and can we just make a parlay of just his rushing props?
Holy cow.
Rushing touchdown, rushing
break,
yards.
He's going to break their souls. All right. Enjoy the game tonight. We will be here tomorrow morning, part of a Buffalo Bills football Friday. That's kind of like a football Monday because a lot of post game, blah, 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 blah. We'll be here. And go Bills.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.